Well, apparently the guy that made it, the inventor, was the first one was Rode NT1. And apparently he was so frustrated with the microphones on the market that he ended up just caving in and making his own one. And it was so good that they were selling like a rat up a drain pipe. And then the rat reference came to Rodent.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
So what are you doing now that you're changing?
I'm basically contracting. I've been contracted back to the same mob that I was working for, which is essentially a global security antivirus business.
Yep.
And, yeah, just, I guess, starting to build up some additional clients as well.
Nice. You're now basically a freelance consultant.
Correct. Yep.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Well, what about you? What have you been up to?
Stable living, I suppose, is the best answer. Just doing the same same stuff as I've been doing for the last 6 years. I just worked out since I quit work.
Yeah.
And that's just melding my business around my lifestyle and trying to fine-tune that to perfection. And I'm getting much closer.
What's your
decent sort of working hours versus non-work related activities from surfing and reading and watching movies and stuff.
And you're living in Manly now, is that right?
Yeah, at Manly.
Nice.
Right overlooking the beach, and I go out every day into the ocean. It's great.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So living the dream.
Living the dream, a self-created dream though.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. Good to hear. Good stuff.
So we have, last time we recorded a tools tips thing was quite some time ago.
A long time ago.
We did a couple of podcasts back then. We're talking about buying and selling domains and we did tool tips and stuff. I wonder what's changed since then.
Yeah, I probably actually should have re-listened to the episode that we did, but I think probably for both of us, a lot has probably changed in terms of where we put our time. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what you're using now.
Well, it was July 2012, so it's about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost exactly, almost within just a couple of weeks. So it's 2 years down the track. I wonder what's changed. One thing I thought leading into this was that there would be a lot less tools that I'm using in my business. I think I've gone through a simplification with the whole fine-tuning revolution. But then as I opened up my Evernote and started writing down some of the tools that I use, I was thinking,
hang on, this is going to take two episodes.
Well, I was thinking, maybe I'm not using a lot less tools, but I guess we'll find out. So I think the important setup here is that we have to consider what type of business we have and how that's going to potentially change the types of tools that you or I might use versus a listener.
Yes, true.
Okay, so in my case, I am a publisher, so I'm making audios and videos. I have a services business, so that means I have a team. So there's around about 50 people in my business still. So to put it in context, they're a virtual team in another country. So that's going to automatically involve certain tools that you might need if you have an office. And most of my customers I'm dealing with in community basis, and then I have active discussion on my public-facing blog, being a podcaster and blog poster. So that's pretty much my role. I'm not doing a lot of retail consulting work. I'm not doing a big software as a service business, but I am dealing in multi-markets, so I'm dealing into different currencies and in different countries. So that's my overview. Tell us your scenario.
Well, I suppose similarities, particularly with the main business I'm dealing with, is there are multi-currencies and obviously multi-countries. I suppose in recent times I've been a manager of a relatively small team, more a team of five, so there's certainly some project management tools there. More recently, I suppose I am fairly hands-on or very hands-on, particularly in terms of analysis. So, there's obviously things like Google Analytics, even Excel, pivot tables, that sort of stuff, Facebook insights. So, probably perhaps a good mix between what you're doing from a higher level management of a business perspective compared to myself, is probably currently very much hands-on. So yeah, there'll certainly be some contrast there.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned one that I didn't even have on my list, sadly, which was Facebook. I was like, there's just so many that sneak up on you. Why don't we just attack the social media platforms and websites while we're at it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I use Google a lot. Surprisingly, how much I use it to look up shops that I'm going to visit, or a cafe, or an address, or a phone number. If someone asks a question, I usually go and check it, or if I run into an obstacle, it's amazingly useful, and I can see how Google's become such a popular website. Do you Google stuff?
Is that a trick question? Yeah. Look, I Google stuff all the time. In fact, yesterday you mentioned before about multi-currencies and multi-currencies. I think yesterday I was using Google AdWords preview tool, which basically lets you see what your search engine results look like in other countries. Not only can you choose location, but you can also choose language. So, yeah, I use Google a lot. I mean, Google Webmaster Tools, Google Apps, of course, and Google Analytics. I mean, I would spend a large majority of my time using Google tools in various guises, I guess.
I do too. I'm using Google Apps for the business. Fantastic for running your email so that you don't clog up your server. Having groups, email groups within a team of 50 is fantastic. So I can just communicate to only the people who I need to. I am using Webmaster Tools to keep an eye on our search results and number of indexed pages, and if there's any warnings or if there's particular links coming to my site that are interesting. And analytics, of course, is a benchmark. And a lot of these tools talk to each other. And I am running a remarketing cookie, but I've really yet to activate it because I'm sort of on the edge of the type of business that they don't love. Which they, if anything to do with the fact that businesses can make more money is scary to them, even though I'm a business profit optimizer and I help people grow their business. I'm as far from a biz op that you could get, but it is still edgy for them.
So so that's an AdWords remarketing cookie, is that what you mean?
Yeah, I've got that, but I also use AdRoll, and I haven't really activated that. I've just been building my remarketing list, and I'm going to turn that on when I have the right occasion, such as when I'm running a live event, and I'll call that business training, and I think we'll be fine with that.
Yep. Oh, and you've just touched on one of that was on my list as well, which is AdRoll, which is essentially a remarketing network, I suppose, James.
Yeah, so it's like not Google, it's someone else, and you can hook it into places like Facebook from memory. And
yes, they do. Yeah.
Basically, everyone that visits your site, you can tag them, and then get in contact with them later by running advertisements in the popular places that they're at. While we're on that social thing, I do use Facebook both personally just to post pictures and interact with actual friends, like real friends, and professionally I have a page. You can get in trouble if you try and sell stuff from your personal profile. And in my market space, there's this epidemic of people who keep posting their mastermind and sales pitches, like long form sales letters in their personal feed, and it's kind of annoying.
I think my friends would unfriend me.
Well, what I do is I just turn them to mute, and then eventually I unfriend them. And sometimes people send me a message, dude, you know, we're not friends anymore. What happened? I'm like, you happened to
stop trying to sell to
Twitter. I use mainly to gather news. I think it's the best news aggregator. If something's happening anywhere, it's going to just pop up on Twitter really quickly. So I'm mostly subscribed to news services. And Instagram, I've really only started using since I became a surfer, because that's the medium of choice in that market. So I'm using it just as a consumer.
Yeah.
And I'm not really using it as a marketing or business tool, but I know some people do. It's not easy to put links or to sell from, but it's a great way to build audience. I don't really use Pinterest or LinkedIn much. I dislike LinkedIn
I use LinkedIn a lot. I suppose going back through the list that you've just mentioned, yes, certainly LinkedIn. I suppose from a B2B and I guess personal branding perspective, and I suppose it's really, if I was to be honest, it's probably more of a push medium for me. And I mean, that's not completely true.
That seems to be my assessment. When I logged into LinkedIn yesterday, there was just under 700 messages, and almost all of them were, "Hey, how you doing? Just reaching out, saying hi, I love your stuff, and here's something that I'm trying to push." It seems to be a push marketer's paradise. And it's definitely, if you're a consultant or in a businessy, or if you wear a shirt with collar on it and buttons, or a tie or a suit, it's definitely going to be your market. Or if you're business to business, you've got to be on LinkedIn.
Yeah, well, that's true. I've certainly found being able to get in touch, I've certainly found it a good tool to be able to get in touch with people who you probably wouldn't normally have access to. And not just from a selling medium. I mean, even just from a, you know, saw that you're doing this, and this, would like your opinion on X, Y, and Z. And I guess it's a good way to get in touch with people and start networking with people like that. Going back to Facebook, James, I think, I mean, I've certainly been using Facebook ads and been, I guess, really pleasantly surprised at the, I guess, success in certain niches. I think it's a very, very powerful advertising tool. It's a lot, well, once again, it depends on what niche, but I think it's a lot cheaper than AdWords in certain areas. And Facebook Insights is also very powerful, just to, I guess, narrow down your target audience and actually see the sorts of numbers that you can potentially market to within certain areas. And we're from Australia. You got to keep in mind that there's currently around 13 million active Australian users, which is about half the population. So that is a pretty powerful tool.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Mm.
All right, let's rip into some real meaty stuff. Are you ready?
Yep.
What, since we last spoke in the last couple of years, what tool has just been a game changer for you?
Ooh, game changer. I'm looking through my list. Oh, look, funnily enough, you know, I'm sitting here in front of Evernote. I think that's probably a game changer for me. Recording everything, any note that I take goes into Evernote. It's searchable. It's on my phone. It's on my iPad. It's on my laptop. So I think that's probably one of the game changers for me.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it too. It's, heaven forbid anyone hasn't heard of it, but it's basically like a massive filing cabinet where you can have as many drawers as you want, and you can just drag stuff into it, pictures, documents.
Yep.
And it works on any device. I love it. That's what I'm using right now as well. When we discussed the idea of this episode, I just opened up an Evernote. I call it Tools with Luke Moulton, and just started brainstorming ideas. Okay.
And I did exactly the same thing, but mine's titled James Franco Tools of the Trade.
Beautiful. So we have here Schedule Once on mine has been a game changer.
What's that? There's, what's that one?
Schedule Once.
Schedule Once.
It's like Time Trade. It's just a calendar booking engine.
And which is what the link that you sent me to, I guess, to book in this podcast episode.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'll tell you how it's been so powerful. It's worth talking about, because the first notion of entrepreneurs when you quit your job is that you are free now, and you're free of the shackles of a schedule and rosters and working for the man. The reality is that routine sets you free, and when all of your time is available, it's really hard to moderate, oh, you know, can we just catch up, or hey, you want to come for a coffee, or are you free today, or can I speak to you next week? Suddenly a calendar can get chocked up again, and before you know it, you're just all over the place. And all the time that you're awake is on time, and there's no off time. Now, what Schedule Once or Time Trade does is it defines automatically when you are available and when you're not available, and you get to predetermine that. So it's the perfect time scheduling way of going about things. So for me, I block Wednesday and Thursday. I have a morning block and an afternoon block that people can book, that they can actually select even a time. I give them options. It's got all these options. It could be 20 minutes, could be 50 minutes, or anything in 10-minute increments. And then it also allows a buffer between appointments for you to have a drink of water or, you know, get refreshed. And if someone's booked a spot, then it doesn't show available on the calendar. And then you can say, look, I don't want any surprise appointments. Don't let anyone book within 24 hours of the appointment. So you're not like, go to sleep and wake up and suddenly old days lit up like a Christmas tree. And this has just been fantastic. And this way, now when I get asked to be a guest on a podcast or something in our help desk, my team can go and check out the podcast of the person inviting me. They'll make sure that it's approved and that it's suitable, and they've interviewed other people and the site looks professional. Then they'll just send them the link to my schedule. I don't have to get involved. The only time I get involved is when I get the reminder that there's an appointment. And then I just turn up at the appointed time. But remember, I decided that I want to be available at that appointed time.
Yep.
If I'm going away, I block that out. And it talks to my Google Calendar, which is synchronized with my iCal.
Nice.
So when someone books the appointment, it automatically appears in Google and it automatically appears on all of my devices.
Brilliant.
I love this tool. Yeah.
It's one I'll have to check out.
Massively big game changer for me. Because you know what? Since I've had this tool, I've had Mondays and Fridays off. I don't have any interactions with other people on those days. That's my productive days. It's my rest day. And my work is stacked for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday these days.
So what do you do on your Mondays and Fridays?
Well, every day I surf. On Mondays, I'll typically rest. I'll just pace myself. I'll have a nice lunch. I'll maybe get a haircut, read a Kindle.
This is bizarre, James. I mean,
potter through some emails.
2 years ago, I would not have heard of this. Are you okay?
I know. I've definitely transformed. I've halved my work week, and I'm healthier and really getting into the routine of things. So this is the tool that does that.
Brilliant.
Okay. I'm still a huge fan of ScreenFlow.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
So being a Mac user, it's really the tool of choice for both audio and video. I'm not sure if anyone knows this, but for audio, it's equally as good as Call Recorder. You can record the computer track and your track, and you can split them out later for getting just the right volume levels, and it records really well. And these days, my standard operating procedure is to use both.
Yep.
When I do a call like this, I'm using ScreenFlow and Call Recorder. So I'll just bundle those two tools together there, both for audio in this case, but they both handle video as well.
Yeah. One that interesting one that I've just started using, it's a Mac app. It's probably available on Windows. It's called Reflector. So you can actually reflect what you're doing on an iPhone or an iPad. So you can basically do a screen recording of what you're doing on an iPhone or iPad and then actually record that with ScreenFlow. So that's a good one for doing demos.
Nice. And if you couple that with paper and a little pen, a little what do you call those things? I know Steve Jobs hated them, those pens with a foam top.
Oh, stylus.
A stylus, that's it. If you have the paper app on an iPad and you use Reflector, you can have beautiful pictures.
Nice. Good tip.
Yeah. Okay. So GoTo Meeting is just a monster still for me.
Yep.
It's just the ultimate in conferencing for – and we have a team of 50, so they meet every day on this. And it does – you know, we go well past the limit of GoTo Meeting. So GoTo Webinar – is the sort of the enhanced version. You can have
which gives you up to 1,000, I think.
1,000 on my plan. Now, I'm on an older plan, which is cheaper. But if you're running webinars, it's still the industry standard. There's so many products have come out and then sort of faded away. And since we spoke, I suppose Google Hangouts has become more popular, but I'm not into it. I don't use it. I don't like it.
Yeah, me either.
Right. So,
no, I'm with you. Yeah. GoToMeeting.
It's a classic. Now, Skype still seems to be a world dominator. I'm using it in a few ways. Obviously, for calls like this, you're getting that voice over internet. It's a good quality. It works on most internet connections. But I'm also using Skype in phone numbers on my websites. So I hire a phone number in different countries. So I've got a UK number, a US number, and an Australian number. And then that redirects to my Skype. So if someone calls my website, it redirects to Skype. If Skype's on, I can answer it. The cool thing about that is that I can record that with Call Recorder, and when I'm finished, I can split out my side of the conversation and I can send my side of the conversation to my team, who can then update our frequently asked questions, and they can improve our website copy. Now, I'm not recording the customer. I'm just recording me. So there's no worry about it getting leaked out or whatever, and I don't have to disclose that. And this has been a really nice little customer service optimization technique. And the other, the Skype in number is very effective. And if my Skype's turned off, then it actually then redirects to my mobile phone, which if I'm there, I'll answer. And if I'm not, it goes to voice message, where I tell people how they can get support via the support desk, or they could just send me an email if it's something private, and or I can call them back. So that's my customer service thing on a very small scale.
Brilliant. Good tip. I like that one. That's awesome and powerful.
Yeah. Okay, you could chip something in.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned before how you were using Twitter as, I guess, your news aggregation service. One that I use almost daily is Feedly.
Yep.
So Feedly is an RSS reader, essentially, which I use, daily. And it also it syncs with a lot of other apps. But the other one that I use, I guess, that goes hand in hand with Feedly is Buffer app. And Buffer app is essentially allows you to, I suppose, when perhaps, I don't know about you, James, but in one sitting, I'll usually sit down and do my reading of the day, whether it be in the morning or whenever, I guess I chunk things. And, you know, stuff that I find interesting on Feedly, I'll want to put into my social media feeds. So whether it be Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And I guess one of the beauties of Buffer app is it allows you to essentially schedule those posts. So you can dump a whole lot of stuff into Buffer app, and instead of, I guess, spamming everyone on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, Buffer app will actually drip feed, I guess, your social media profile. So those are two that I use hand in hand daily.
How do you get it from Feedly to Buffer?
So Feedly actually has a little Buffer app can be built into Feedly. So there's just a little button that you press that comes up with Buffer, and Buffer comes up, and you can basically customize your message based on it. It'll obviously usually automatically pull the title of the particular post, and then you just choose the social media profiles that you want it to go out to and hit send, and it'll actually queue that message to go out. And I suppose one of the powerful things is that you can use it for multiple, I guess, social media profiles. So I also have, for example, some Facebook pages that I run that are, you know, completely different to the business, to my own personal business. And if I find something interesting along the lines of, I guess, that those Facebook followers would be interested in, I can also just pop that into Buffer and choose that particular social media profile.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've heard a lot about Buffer, and I haven't been using it, so I think that'll be one action step after this.
Yeah, and it's got a really good free plan, but if you want like a heap more feeds for it to plug into, it's only about $10 a month.
Right. Okay. So next on my list is probably a super obvious one, but it's having a fast ISP. It's something I struggled with for years. At least 3 years, 4 years, having really crappy internet.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, but there are faster plans available than what you can see on most of the websites. I'm on a plan with Telstra called the Ultimate, and it's 115 download. It's not published.
Wow.
And if I had to sort of dig around a bit to ask for it, and it's very fast, and it literally changes my ability to be productive, because I can, you know, sites load instantly. I can just move through forums really fast. So anyone in an area where they're on a sort of the budget plan who increases the speed to the highest available is probably going to experience a productivity lift.
Oh, fantastic. Don't talk to me about ISPs. I live in an area in Victoria that is not that remote, but I cannot get ADSL.
Can you get 4G?
On a good day. On a good day.
Right. So I was using a Telstra 4G, which was giving me faster internet than I could get through the ADSL one.
Yeah.
My average internet there was like 1.5. It was infuriating. Oh,
I have multiple wireless plans, which is expensive. But I suppose when you choose to live somewhere for the lifestyle, that's you pay the price.
Right. So in the majority of people listening to this will probably have faster options than what they're using now. And try it. It will change the game.
Yeah.
On a similar note, when I travel now, I'm using a little wireless, a portable wireless, especially the US and the Philippines. I have, it's about the size of an iPhone, I suppose, just those little portable Wi-Fis.
Yep.
I've got three now. I have one in Australia,
yep,
one in the Philippines, and one for the US. And when I go there, the US one, I use a Verizon, I just turn my phone on, I turn on the Wi-Fi device, and then I just top it up, and away I go. I think I can get 10 gigs at a time for $90, and that will last me while I'm in the States. And then I can use my laptop, my iPhone, my iPad. I think it handles up to 10 devices. I don't have to use hotel connections. I don't have to use cafes. I'm not using someone else's network and putting all my data across it.
Nice. So one of the ones that I've been using recently, James, it probably goes into a little bit different from, I guess, your average business tool, but it's called AdBeat. So AdBeat, there's also another similar one called What Runs Where. And essentially it's kind of, I suppose you'd say it's kind of a spying tool to see what your competitors are doing in the display advertising space. So if you're doing a lot of, I guess, Google AdWords display and you're wanting to improve, I guess, your banner ads and the performance of your banner ads, AdBeat and What Runs Where will, I guess, give you some inspiration around what other people are doing. That's one I use fairly regularly. I mean, I do a reasonable amount of display advertising, so they're pretty powerful tools.
Nice one. I guess the closest tool I would use to something like that is SimilarWeb.com.
Ah.
And it's not so much the advertising one, but it's more of a little bit of a spy on a website to see where, you know, the traffic's coming. And if there are ads, it does bring up stuff. It shows you the main topics in thought clouds and all sorts of other really cool stuff, yep, especially like ranking and traffic. It's like Alexa.
Nice. Now, James, these days, what are you using, I guess, to run your, I guess, your websites and your email? You know, what platform are you using these days?
So I'm using a dedicated server with Liquid Web.
Yep.
On that we run, it's called Nginx or something like that. I'm not techie, obviously. I think it's Nginx, but it's like this caching thing that makes it fast. And I have a couple of dedicated servers, and I've split my two most important websites across those two. Really fast, really high quality, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for email, I'm using the Google apps so that I'm not running it through my server. And for my media, I'm using Wistia to serve all of my videos.
Yep.
I'm using Amazon S3 to serve my podcasts, and I've ticked the CloudFront option because it speeds it up. And I also host quite a lot of images on Amazon for my forums.
Are you using a CRM at all?
I use Office Autopilot. I'm still in the legacy version. It hasn't become Entreport for me, but it is for the new members.
Yep. And how do you find that?
Oh, it's great. I've got my own URL that I use for my email reputation. So when the emails go out, it's using my own URL as the link so that I've got a sort of my own reputation for that domain. Have something like whitelisted URL or something, whitelisted link. And it's delivering my emails well. The automation's working great. It's synchronizing with my shopping cart. I still use Nanocast, which I've done around $7 million worth of sales through that cart so far. It's been really good.
Yep.
So I've got the shopping cart talking to Office Autopilot. And for my forum platforms, I've actually recently switched from vBulletin across to Zenforo because I was told that a lot of the vBulletin developers started up Zenforo. And that's where the features and the new cool stuff like trophies and a better user interface and it loads fast, that's where the features are going to come from in the future.
Yep.
Whereas I tried to move my vBulletin up to version 5 from 4.2 and it was terrible. So it went across to Zenforo and everyone loves it. It's got a way better native display in phones and it's really smooth and nice to use.
Nice. Yeah, so certainly I don't have certainly anywhere near a sophisticated setup, but I suppose in terms of email, MailChimp is my preferred platform. I think it's an awesome service, and once again, they've got a pretty good free base product, and it's kind of software as a service with a sense of humour. their copy and their interface, I think it's just beautiful and easy to use. So
I've heard that most of the customers I have are having trouble with automations and sequences. It's just not letting them move people around interests.
Yeah.
Or abandonment follow-ups and stuff are just not as coordinated.
Yeah, not as thick as some other platforms.
But I have heard a lot of good things about ActiveCampaign.
Okay, yeah.
And that's supposed to be a similar to MailChimp but has more functionality like Entreport, and that's the other one people are talking about.
I'll have to check it out.
And it's still a good chunk of my audience are using Infusionsoft.
Yep.
Still hasn't grabbed me yet. It seems complex.
Yeah.
But I can't talk too much about the tools I don't use. I should stick to the ones I do. Let's do a round of hardware.
Right.
What's your primary device for making all this internet business happen?
A little MacBook Air, which is a beautiful piece of technology. I'm sitting in front of it right now. But aside from that, an iPad mini. I love the form factor. And once again, it's something that I use Feedly on a lot. I guess my reading of RSS. What else? That's really my day to day is sitting in front of this little MacBook Air with an additional, I guess, large screen monitor.
Is it 11 or 13?
It is 13.
Right. Yeah, I was using an Air, but my screen flows were getting a bit sticky when I was putting videos in there.
Yeah.
So I'm using a 13-inch Retina Pro.
Nice.
It's giving me a very good resolution to look at websites because we update our template a fair bit. It's great for editing videos if I do that occasionally, but I tend not to these days. So since I bought this, my workflow's changed a little bit, but I needed the power for recording things like this because it's a workhorse. I'm using an external monitor as well. I think it's, a 27-inch LED?
Yep.
And my iPad mini Retina is great for reading Kindles and for drawing cool stuff on paper. And I use an iPhone 5S. In Australia, most phones are iPhones. In the US, most of them are Androids.
And in other areas of the world, certainly Europe, are heavy on Android, which is interesting. I'm certainly looking forward to the next iPhone. I'd like to go to a larger screen, and I've resisted the urge to move over to Samsung. But, I certainly find my day-to-day, I'm not using my phone to take calls. It's more for, once again, for browsing and looking at news feeds. And, so I think a larger size phone, if and when Apple brings one out in September, I'm certainly looking forward to.
I'm very happy with mine. I actually, I film – now when I travel, I use a Rode Smart Lav as my microphone, and I leave the Zoom at home. I'm not using that anymore. I use the Zoom as a backup at home for recording a podcast if I've only got one other recording device. But I'm just plugging a Rode Smart Lav into my iPad or my iPhone, and I'm recording on that. And then I render it using an app that lets you do the contrast and background and color adjustments right there in the phone, and then I export it. So the app that I'm using for that, and there's a few that have a similar name, so you got to be careful with this, but I'll link to it in the show notes. It's called Tilt Shift Video.
Oh, nice.
And it's just really cool. You just grab the video from your library, and then you can put you can make the blurry background as if it's a 50mm lens.
Yep.
So that's my travel kit. It's really just the iPhone and Rode Smart Lav. And for that, I've been all sorts of places overseas, like Buddhist temples in Thailand and stuff. It's really easy to make a little selfie video with just the iPhone and this Smart Lav clipped on your T-shirt. You don't have to carry around a big DSLR. You don't have to have, chunky recording devices. So that's my portable recording kit these days. It's really lean.
And Rode is, I believe, an Australian brand too, James.
It is. And you know what that Did we tell you the story last time? I can't remember about road, but short for rodent.
No, I didn't.
Well, apparently the guy that made it, the inventor, was the first one was Rode NT1. And apparently he was so frustrated with the microphones on the market that he ended up just caving in and making his own one. And it was so good that they were selling like a rat up a drain pipe. And then the rat reference came to rodent.
Very nice. Didn't know that.
So R-O-D-E-N-T-1, rodent. And Rode is, that's basically, it's a little rat. Now, I'm recording this on a Rode Podcaster mic, which is my absolute favorite USB microphone. It filters out noise beautifully. You probably can't hear the surf in the background. And it's such a good home office microphone.
Nice. I usually use a Blue Yeti, but I am actually on site at the moment, and hopefully you can't hear the builders in the room next to me, but I'm just on a basic headset at the moment, so apologies for the sound quality.
It's actually pretty good. And a lot of the webinars that I run, I'll use that because I'm quite often away, and I will just use the Apple laptop and the headphones that you get with an iPhone, and that'll do the job.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, we've talked a lot about, you've talked a lot about recording certain types of media. Now, how do you get that to your team? What are you dropping it into?
Dropbox.
Of course.
Now, since we spoke last, I mean, there's been a lot of pressure from Google Drive and a few others, but I find the Dropbox interface just easier, the way that it looks like a normal file. It's not owned by Google, I think, is probably a good thing. It's really just a glove that fits around Amazon S3 is the way that I've heard about it. We use Team Dropbox, which gives us the ability to create a folder for everyone in the business. They can use that for work and they can be linked to it. And if they leave, we can transfer their stuff back to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I use it daily, in fact.
And I love that you can share a link now. So you can drag it into Dropbox. I've got a Dropbox called Public, and I just put things I want to share in there and then create a link for it, and then I can post the link for people to go and grab stuff.
Yeah, which is brilliant, and they don't even have to have Dropbox. And interestingly, we were talking before about recording using Reflektor and ScreenFlow, and it's something I did for my dad recently. You know, Dad said, how do I find a digital radio app? And you know, my father, like many 65-plus-year-olds, is very untechnical. So I just did a little screencast for him and dropped it in the Dropbox, and exactly what you just described, James, just copied the link and emailed it to him and said, there you go, Dad. So it's
just beautiful. Now, I'm using that for everything from my accountant through to a friend who I took a photograph of in the surf, just Dropbox direct link to the picture. While we're still on equipment, for my weekly news videos, for the internal members, so I'm actually just using a USB camera, a C920 Logitech, and that is a high definition camera that plugs straight into ScreenFlow. So with the good quality mic and the good quality camera, I'm getting much better quality than just going straight off the laptop. When I'm away, I'm using the iPad and the Smart Lav. And if I'm doing a high quality news video, then I'll break out the Canon DSLR. I'm still using a 60D, but I have upgraded the lens to 50mm 1.2 since we last spoke.
I've still got a 550D that I use fairly occasionally, but they're great cameras for video.
And I switched over to a boom pole mic. I've got the Rode NTG3 microphone, and it runs into a Beechtech mixer that then plugs into the Canon. So now I can get the sound. I have the mic just near my head pointing to my chest, going straight past my mouth. So I get a really good sound, and it's feeding straight into the memory card with the video. So there's no split track. And again, I just pull the SD card out of the Canon, stick it into the Mac, and drag the raw file into Dropbox, and my team will go and edit it.
Beautiful. Nice workflow.
Okay. WordPress for my websites. Still loving WordPress.
Yep.
These days we customize all of our themes, and we even sell our themes now as pre-done themes because so many people like our themes. It's become a growing part of our business.
I have noticed. And how's that going?
Wonderfully. Yeah, we have a have a really strong team there. We've added, even as we're recording this, I think we've added about 10 pre-done themes in the last week for all different markets, from cosmetic dentistry through to plumbing. So we're addressing the verticals, and for $299, we help people install it, mix, you know, get up their hosting and integrate their opt-in, and they're up and running. So now I don't encourage anyone to learn how to build a WordPress site. I don't think you should. I think it's a waste of energy when you can have someone do it for you.
Oh, yeah. You should be – exactly. You should be focusing on your content and getting someone else to push it up for you. I mean, it is so easy to get a basic WordPress website up, but, you know, customizing it can take a lot of time and energy, and it's probably wasted for someone who doesn't know how to do it.
Now, what about browsing? What do you use for that?
Chrome. I'm using Chrome. It's got some great plugins, particularly some good SEO plugins. So I use that. Perhaps just going back to WordPress and websites, one of the more powerful tools that I use is Optimizely, which is essentially a split testing tool for conversion rate optimization. So basically it's one that will work with pretty much any website, not just WordPress, but it allows you to test different versions of pages to see what converts best. So I think Optimizely is certainly a powerful tool. But yeah, certainly in terms of browsing, I use Chrome, but I do also have use Firefox as well from time to time. But yeah, my staple would be Chrome. What about you?
Yeah, I'm using Chrome. I've only got a few extensions. So I'm using 1Password.
Yep.
Using my Evernote Web Clipper.
Yep.
Google Translate.
And yes.
I've got an iMedia Converter Deluxe. It just basically lets me grab any video that I find on the internet if I want to watch it in my own time.
Nice.
And Reportive.
Yep. Yep. Plug in for Gmail.
Yep. SEO Quake, that's about it. I don't like having too much stuff on there, but it's a good experience. Chrome is still super easy to use.
Yeah, once again, that app I mentioned before, Buffer App, also has an extension for Chrome. So anything that you see that you want to share, there's a little Buffer App that you can use and publish out to your social media networks.
Very nice. Now, I used Visual Website Optimizer for split testing, which would be a similar to Optimizely. But right now I've let my subscription lapse because I've been doing most of my testing with lead pages, and that's been probably the biggest changing tool since we spoke last. It's just exploded onto the scene.
And that is dedicated WordPress, isn't it?
Lead Pages is an online app that builds pages that get opt-ins, but it also has features like lead links and lead boxes. So you can turn any picture on your website into an opt-in. You can turn any link into an opt-in, and it's hosted externally, but you can pull it into WordPress. So you can have it running from your site, but it doesn't have to be.
Nice.
And that is the best way to collect opt-ins. We put PDF transcriptions under all the posts. So even this episode would be transcribed and the PDF would be downloadable. And when you click on the download the PDF, it'll prompt for an email address. That's a lead box feature. But importantly, it allows you to split test inside lead pages. So I haven't been using the Visual Website Optimizer as much. I've been just using everything in the lead pages suite.
Very nice. Very nice.
I think it's like one of the first tools an online marketer should have, because collecting an email list is critical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
And they're serving their stuff from Google servers, so they're very fast. They load quickly, and they have a marketplace that actually show the highest converting templates, and they have really good built-in analytics.
Fantastic. Yeah, certainly one I've seen but not used.
You've definitely got to get into it. In fact, my webinar template was the highest converting template in lead pages for a long time, and
wow,
it's still in the top two, I think.
There you go.
So what else we got here? Support. I'm still using Zendesk.
Yep.
They keep updating the platform. It's got a new interface. It works really well on mobile. It integrates with Live Chat Inc.
Yep.
Superbly. And it's externally hosted, so it's always up and reliable.
And just going back to Live Chat, James, perhaps describe what Live Chat is.
Live Chat Inc., it's a little widget you can put on your site. You can have a console from your desktop or online or on your mobile, and you can have someone answering questions. It's really good. You can trigger it. If someone stays on a certain page, it can pop up a call to action. If they move through a certain sequence or they're on a page for a certain amount of time, it can pop up. if they're not there, then it can just have a leave a message display and people can click on it and push a ticket into Zendesk. And we're answering about 45 a day.
Really powerful tool. And well, I think one of the interesting things is if you actually hook it up with Google Analytics, you can actually see how well people convert after they've had, I guess, a live chat experience with someone. I think that's one of the really powerful things about certainly not, most decent live chat services will have that feature as well.
Fantastic. In terms of collecting the money, which is really important, my main tools that I'm using, we do all our accounting with Xero.
Yep.
For my oldest customers, the ones I've had for 6.5 years now, I'm using FreshBooks.
Yep.
That actually mails them an invoice.
And you can tell when they've seen it, which is nice too.
Shows when they've seen it. It's like it literally prints it off and posts it to them, and they send me back a check with the receipt stub stapled to it. Old school. I just got one today. So FreshBooks is fantastic for that.
Yep.
I'm using PayPal for a good chunk of my revenue, and I think not having PayPal, you're probably missing out if you're in a business-to-consumer market, because they used to make you have PayPal if you used eBay, and most people have used that at some point. And I'm using credit cards for the other half. So both of those, I'm doing over 7 figures a year in sales through them, and my tip there is ask for a discount.
Yep.
PayPal, I've got the rate down to like 1.1%.
Which is very competitive compared to the credit card rates.
Credit cards, depending on which currency, the Australian one is very low, but the US dollar one, you can only really do through National Australia Bank in Australia or use the PayPal thing. But there's a new entrant in the market, and that's Stripe.
Yes.
And that's really popular with software companies, and a lot of people in my community are using it. And Stripe's probably the easiest way to get up and running with credit cards right now in multi-currency.
Yeah. I think one of the important things, particularly, I guess, about PayPal is the ease of use for people who are using mobile devices. I've certainly seen conversion rates for people who are using a mobile phone increase when you have PayPal as a payment option, because, you know, you don't have to type in, you know, your credit card number and then the expiry date and then the CVV on the back. You know, with PayPal, it's just email address and password. So it makes mobile transactions much, much easier.
You're right. And I've found that even though I default mine to credit card on my checkout, 30% of the people will roll it back to PayPal.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, even PayPal will say that. That's pretty much an industry standard. They get 25 to 30% of people will opt for PayPal.
There you go. Well, my results show that to be true.
Yes, absolutely.
if you're going to go the difficult old school way of credit card, then you have to, in my case, I've got to use NAB for US dollars, and then I have to have something like eWay to talk to my shopping cart. eWay are just fantastic.
And they've been around for a long time too. They're brilliant.
Amazing service, fantastic reporting. It's a really good service. I think Stripe's going to put some pressure on this market, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Putler. If you're going to use PayPal, use Putler.
I reckon that's one you did mention last time we talked, James. It's I know it's been in your arsenal for a while now.
It's such a powerful tool. It shows you what percentage of your business is recurring. It shows you your sales details. It shows you your top customers. So you can literally just who spent the most money. Where did I get the most money? And you just phone the top 10.
It's like analytics for PayPal, essentially.
It is. Now, if you're using Xero, I think you can use PeopleMine and get similar stuff. If you're using Stripe, you can use Baremetrics. But it's really important that you get some kind of financial analysis tool so that you can look at your top products, your top customers, your churn rate, your retention, refunds, etc. So I'm still running at around about 1% refunds across my entire business. I can tell that from that. And that's just usually that's billing administration errors. Like someone lets their bill go one day and they go, oh, oops, I forgot I was supposed to unsubscribe. Could you just send it back? It's like silly stuff. Pingdom.
Yes.
Pingdom, I use that just to let me know if my website's offline for some reason. I want to know immediately because it's going to cost me money.
Exactly. Yeah, Pingdom's a good one.
They also have a nice speed test tool for your website.
And they'll send you SMS messages as well as emails, well as having an iPhone app that'll send you push messages as well.
And bang for buck, Crazy Egg is still just amazing for just putting a putting your most important page there and having a heat map on it. And I've used that tool for years and years to refine my navigation. I can lift my opt-in percentages. I can sell more product by removing superfluous navigation. There, I thought I'd drop a big word in today.
Superfluous. Word of the day. Nice.
Yeah. So use Crazy Egg?
I have used Crazy Egg. I actually moved over to Clicktail, and from memory, the main reason was they can do form abandonment tracking. So I think that was the only reason for moving over to Clicktail. I think Crazy Egg's probably got a nicer interface. But yeah, if you want to look at, I guess, form abandonment in basically almost a screen recording format, then Clicktail's good for that.
I used that for a while, and I just found it too complex.
I think it is clunky. Once again, I think Crazy Egg's got a nicer interface and it's probably easier to use.
I know that I've got my card abandonment a little bit covered with my automated follow-ups. Its simple technique is I took the order form off my sales page, put it on a second page called checkout, and then made a tracking link when people click on the, order now or, get access or whatever button that tags them as interested.
Yep.
And then it goes along to check if they bought or not. And if they didn't buy, I start following them up.
There are even slightly more powerful scripts available and even services available that as soon as someone types in their email address into a form and then tabs or clicks on another field, it actually dynamically records the email address. And then if they don't go on to transact, whether they move to the next stage in the cart or not, they go into essentially an abandoned list that you can then follow up with emails. And that is card abandonment emails are extremely powerful.
Very. I'd say they add 20% more to my sales.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
and even as simple as someone might be thinking, what could you say? It could be simply, Luke, we're still interested in that road podcast of mine,
? Yeah, and then I think I know this. Some companies has done some testing on this, and they find the most effective time to send those emails are usually within an hour of the person going to visiting the cart, 24 hours and then 72 hours later. And that sort of three sequence emails is very effective at getting people back in.
And let's talk about alerts or reputation management. I was using Google Alerts and I still do, but I found they're not as effective as some of the other ones out there now. There's two other tools that I'm using. One's called Mention.
Yes, Mention. I've used that one.
And the other one's Talk Walker Alerts.
I haven't heard that one.
It's really good, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah, certainly one thing about Google Alerts, they doesn't seem to find many forum mentions. So, yeah, I'll certainly have to have a look at Talk Walker, James.
Yeah. Well, you put in your product names, your own name, maybe a competitor's name. Just keep an eye on it. It's great having someone email you when there's something interesting happening out there. And that's how I find out when people publish a post where I've been a guest or something and I can go along and answer questions. It's intelligent.
Yeah, nice one.
For videos, I mentioned before, I just absolutely love and adore Wistia. It's the cleanest, leanest, most analytic, rich, fantastic video player with the ability to capture emails, with a call to action at the end, with heat mapping, tracking, and also user behavior analysis. And you can pass emails into the video from your email. So you can even now, using another app called Fused App, join your Wistia video to your autoresponder. And now you can track how much of a video someone watches and then send an email depending on if they watched a lot or a little of it.
Beautiful. That's a very powerful B2B tool, particularly if you're doing custom videos for small audiences where, at the end of the day, if it's a big sale, you want to have the power to be able to automate, those processes.
And the other thing about Fused App is you can hook it up to your Dropbox. So what I do when I do a weekly webinar, for example, or a video, I just drag it into Dropbox and Fused App comes along and sweeps the Dropbox and zooms it up to Wistia. So I basically just export my recording into this particular Dropbox. I'll go and get dinner or something, come back, open up Wistia, and there's the video sitting there, and I just cut and paste the code into my community.
Brilliant. I haven't seen that one. It's definitely one I'll be checking out after this. You give me quite a few, James. I'm impressed.
Well, I've got a couple too. I'm going to be buffer appering and Feedlink. let's see. Proxies. Do you ever use a proxy browser?
I do from time to time. I've used Hide My Ass.
I'm glad you said that one. That's what we use that too, the pro version, just for checking search results from time to time and to see what someone else might see without this user bias.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think as I mentioned certainly earlier on, you know, if you don't want to go out and get a VPN, you can use the AdWords preview tool to have a look at search results in other countries. But if you really want to make sure you're getting the fair dinkum local experience, then yeah, get a VPN.
Okay, Amazon Kindle, I love that. I'm fully converted to Kindle now.
Do you actually have a Kindle reader?
No, just using my iPad Mini Retina.
Yeah,
same. Which you can really change the contrast and get it to sort of a sepia and make it less offensive on the eyes.
Yep.
But, you know, we should pull out our iPads and just sort of see what kind of apps we're running out of curiosity.
I don't have it with me. But
well, there you go. You can make it up. So let me guess. You've got Candy Crush.
Funnily enough, there is you know how you can swipe through your screens. I was actually organising all my apps the other night, and I do have a screen that is just dedicated to the kids. And it's Peppa Pig it's definitely a feature on.
Did you get Flappy Bird before it got pulled?
I did.
Oh, good, lucky. One of the handy apps as a traveller on my phone is the speed test app, because it's one of the first things I'll do when I get to a destination is just to know what I'm dealing with and if it's likely that I can do business or not.
Yep.
When I went to the Dominican Republic, I realised I was in a lot of trouble. It was it was timing out, and that's when I changed a lot of my standard operating procedures, especially video editing. And I literally emailed my customers and I emailed my team and I said, I'm going to be off the air for a couple of weeks here. good luck. Speak to you when I get back. And that's when we changed a lot of things. I opened up a little PayPal account for one of my team members to buy some of the things we needed from time to time where it was being held up by me. So it's a good process. Okay, for your Mac, sometimes I get sort of chocked up. I'm using a little app called Memory Clean. It's free, and I just basically just clean out the cache and stuff to get more grunt into the machine.
Yeah, I use Clean My Mac, which is probably similar. Also cleans up, sees what sort of files you haven't opened in a long time and asks you if you want to remove those as well. So that's definitely one that I use regularly, particularly given that I essentially live on this MacBook Air that doesn't have a huge hard drive. So
exactly. And I think iBoostUp does a similar thing.
Yeah, there's quite a few apps out there. But one that I use that I haven't mentioned yet, which is, a project management tool, it's called Trello. And I have that app both on my – well, it's basically you can use it on a browser, but I've also got an app on my iPad and my iPhone, and that's what I use to communicate with my team. And it's essentially, if you've heard of Agile, Agile is essentially a project management process. It is essentially an Agile board, but really it's just basically a bunch of lists that you can drag tasks from, I guess, one status to the other.
It's a Kanban system, isn't it?
Yes, correct. It is.
To do, doing, and done.
Yep.
So here's the thing. I'm not really using project management tools. I'm just using email to manage my business.
Yep. Well, you have project managers in place, James.
Exactly right. And that's an important distinction. I don't log into Teamwork, PM, or Google Docs very often. Only if my team sends me something to just scan, like a proposed infographic or a news thing that they're working on that they want me just to reword or have a look at. But generally, I can't remember when I've logged into Teamwork or Basecamp or any of those tools. So I'm not interested in it. Now it's just I send an email with a specific instruction to my VA, and she can manage whatever system that they want.
Nice.
And stepping away from the project management system was a real enabler for me moving forward to the stuff that's super important.
Yep. Now, James, you've always been the king of mind maps. What are you using at the moment?
I'm not really using mind maps. I use a whiteboard a lot. Yep. And my paper app on the iPad.
Yep.
And I'm just drawing simple diagrams. The last time I did a mind map, I'm using MindJet on my Mac.
Yep.
Which I've had forever. I used to like bubble.us for collaboration with the team where you can share a mind map. And also I've also used the Google one. Google have really sort of upped their game with their tools. So in fact, the last flow chart I did, I believe someone in my team made it in Google and I just refined it a little bit.
Nice.
But I tend to draw on a whiteboard and take a picture and drag it into Evernote.
Beautiful.
So I'm kind of analog there. And I've heard a lot of good things about Lucid Chart.
Yeah, yeah. I use XMind, which is a Mac app. And yeah, but I mean, there's plenty of tools out there. I suppose don't necessarily be hamstrung by the technology. If a whiteboard works, then use that.
These days, there's a lot of cut through with a hand drawn map or diagram. It really stands out. But I think if I look back in my older courses 4 or 5 years ago, I was using a lot of mind maps, and it was a way to stand out back then. It's funny how things come around.
Now everyone's doing it.
I'm really big on Keynote.
Yeah.
I've become quite adept at Keynote. I just love it for translating ideas. When I speak, I'll use mostly just pictures, not even any words on the screen at all, just pictures to convey a message. And then the focus is on me, the presenter. But it's a great way to build a training webinar, is to just have some diagrams or just some prompts.
Yep.
That you can chapterize. Let me see what else we got. Oh, there is for messaging, one tool that I have been using a little bit is Viber.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's so great internationally. It's brilliant.
Yes. I find that the team, a lot of them use that, and it's kind of like a cross between Skype and iMessage. And you can SMS, you can talk, you can do video, it's got much better emoticons. So it's a pretty cool platform.
Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, so that's been good. And I actually use iMessage on my computer more. I didn't really connect. Anyone with an iPhone, it's very easy to be communicating them from a desktop rather than having to pick up the little phone.
Yeah.
And not,
and people,
I don't have those fast fingers like those young people these days.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I love iMessage on the Mac. It's brilliant. Hopefully, I think in the next release of OS X, they're making it so you can message anyone from that app, not just people with an iPhone. So looking forward to that.
That'll be good, because my surfing buddies said that he would rather poke his eyes out and work a plow in a third world country than use an iPhone. So at the moment, the only way I can communicate with him is to use my my phone as SMS. Now, so I'm guessing he doesn't like the iPhone.
Oh, I'm tipping.
I think the last tool I want to mention is probably unexpected, but these days I've got a blank pad of a white pad and a pen, and I make notes through almost all of my calls, and I'm using my own IP sheets, which are actual pieces of paper. They're A3 size, and it's where I capture ideas, and I write them down into a particular framework, and that's what I turn into modules or training, or I leverage them. So I'm using pen and paper more and more in my business, whereas if you go back a few years ago, I was completely paperless, like just a computer. There was no paper or pen in my office. Now I'm using pen and paper every day, and I think that it's unlocking more of my ability, because I've probably had a lot more practice with pen and paper.
Yeah.
And I think when you type stuff in Evernote and whatever tools, when you close the monitor or you turn your computer off, it's sort of gone. But this analog stuff, it's right there. It's easy to use anytime.
I think also it's particularly whether you're sitting in front of someone or on the phone to them, if they hear you clicking away at a keyboard, it's – it's almost kind of rude. So I think in that way, you know, the pen and paper is still powerful and can be used without, I guess, disconcerting others as well.
Well, I think I'm equally okay with just updating Evernote. As we've been talking, I've been making a note of which things we've talked about and crossing them off, so to speak, in Evernote very quietly, because that's how I do my mastermind.
You've got a quiet keyboard or a very good microphone?
Yeah, well, both. Yeah. But every mastermind, I open up an Evernote, I type the main points from the discussion, and then after the three calls, I make a summary video. However, if I'm doing a podcast interview, I'll have a pen open and I'll jot down ideas, and then I can recap at the end and I can come back around. But because I pre-prepared this one in Evernote, I've got it there already. But if I was doing a freehand, well, say I was a guest and they didn't prompt me, then I'd be making notes to be able to call back on some items.
Nice. Probably one of the last ones I'll mention, which I essentially live my life out of day to day. It's Things. It's essentially a to-do list for Mac. It's on Mac. On Mac and iPad. I think there may be a Windows version. But, yeah, I've got the memory of a goldfish, so I record everything into Things and then try and prioritize either at the end or at the start of each day.
Right. So I used to use Things, and then a few years back I switched to Reminders.
Yep. Oh, just on the native app on your iPhone?
It's native, and that's what I use for my own standard operating procedures.
Nice. There's some really powerful stuff that can do. For example, remind you when you're at a particular location, which is pretty awesome.
It's cool. So I have frameworks in there, and actually that's where I store my conversation that I have with people wanting to join my mastermind. It's where I store my diagnostic checklist for when people join, and it's where I store my 12-weekly cycle, my podcast interview checklist, my how to run a mastermind checklist. So anything that's just for me and not shared with anyone else will be in my Reminders app.
Nice.
And you can easily add things and drag them around, but I'm not using them as a to-do list. I use my whiteboard for that.
Brilliant. Good stuff. James, you've certainly shared quite a lot that I haven't even heard of, in fact. Fused app is certainly one I'll be taking a look at. For sure.
Fused app is created by a fellow Melburnian of yours, and Jake Hauer. So,
all right,
it's good stuff. Yeah, he's very technologically savvy.
Awesome.
He's actually helping me set up some sequences for my next event, Superfast Business Live.
Yep.
And we'll have, depending on which options people take, which videos they watch, it will follow up with the correct next thing. We're going to do it as an experiment, a case study, and then share it at the event and see what happened.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you could get back on and update us. And we should do this every 2 years without fail.
Beauty. It's good to talk to you, James, and I look forward to chatting to you in 2 years' time.
Thanks, Lucky. No, we should catch up a little more often now.
That'd be great. All right, mate. Well, thanks for the call and take it easy. We'll catch you soon, hopefully.
Awesome.
All right.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.